All right, we're beginning here on the top of Chavava and Aleph by the Mishnah. The Mishnah begins, HaKotev Tosei Gitin, Tzarech Shianiach Mekom HaIsh, U'Mekom HaIsha, U'Mekom HaZman. Person who's writing out boilerplate Gitin, in order that he has the documents ready, has to leave out the essential data from the get. I'll have to discuss why he has to do that. And the essential information that he leaves out is the man's name, the woman's name, and the date. Those three pieces of information have to be left out. The Tosafot read over here discusses the fact as to why he doesn't have to leave out the city where it's happening or the city of the man or the woman. He says because most Sofrim are local. And the people that are coming to the Sofer are local individuals. And if he writes in the city, the Shem Ha'ir, it won't be a problem because on a majority or in both of the cases, he's going to be servicing the people in the city, and therefore if he writes it ahead of time, it's not going to cause an issue. Then, shtare milve, when it comes to documents that are documenting a loan, if he's, again, printing up the boilerplate information in the loan documents, tzarech sheyaniach makom hamalve, the creditor's name, makom halove, the debtor's name, makom hamaot, the amount of the loan, makom hazman, and the date. So those are the four items that would have to be left out. Again, essential pieces of information that have to be left out if he's writing ahead of time. Shtare mekach, when it comes to transactional documents, tzarech sheyaniach makom halokeach, the name of the purchaser, makom hamocher, the name of the seller, makom hamaot, the price, makom hasadeh, the object or the land being sold, umakom hazman, and the date. Mipnei ha-takana. This is all because of the takana. The Gemara itself will discuss what is the takana that we're speaking about and what is that referencing within the Mishnah. Rabbi Yehuda posel bikulan. Rabbi Yehuda says that these are all psulim, meaning that even writing them or writing these boilerplate languages and leaving out the essential data seemingly is problematic according to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Lazar makshir bikulan chutz migitei nashim. Because Lazar says that they're all fine, except for Gitei Nashim, Shneamar, because there it says, V'katavla Lishma, it must be done Lishma. Over here you have a Machloket, Rashi, and Tosafot, about the Shito of Rabbi Elazar. According to Rashi, you can see in the Rashi says, Rabbi Elazar Makshir Bikulan, Ubuvad Sheniach Mekomot Alalu. As long as he leaves out these locations, Chutz mi Gitei Nashim, with the exception of Gitei Nashim, the Gazrin meant Tofes Atu Toref. That there we worry about the boilerplate piece of it because of the Ikar, or the main aspects of the Get. So what Rabbi Lazar seemingly is saying according to Rashi is that by Gitei Nashim, you can't write anything ahead of time. You have to write the Toref for sure afterwards because it has to be done Lishma. But the Tofes, which is the boilerplate language, he says, do not write that, because if you do write that, you might come to write the other information ahead of time. And so because of that, he says, write the whole thing after the fact. By other shtarot, he says, the toref, you have to leave out. The main information you have to leave out, gazrin and atu gitei nashim. Because by gitei nashim, this is the fundamental information that we need, and it's posel by get nashim. So by other shtarot, you have to leave it out. But the tofes, by other shtarot, that he's not gozer. So that's Rabbi Elazar's breakdown, is by Gitei Nashim, you can't write anything. By Shtarot, you can write the Tofes, but you cannot write the Toref, you cannot write the main pieces of information. That's why Rashi learns. Tosafot and the majority of Rishonim disagree with Rashi, that is not the case, because in Ira Lari, the Rabbi Elazar makshir b'shtarot afilu Toref. That Rabbi Elazar, even by the Toref of other Shtarot, says you can write it. And that's what he's saying here in the language, that Makhshir Bikulan, all of them are fine, meaning that any Shtar that you want to write, you can write all the information. That means both the boilerplate language and the information that would otherwise be need to know. If he knows there's a loan going out, if he knows that there's a transaction going down, he can write it ahead of time. He does not have to wait till afterwards. And that's not an issue whatsoever. The reason that Tosafot says this, and many of the Rishonim say that, it has to do with the order of the Mishnah. Because if you believe like Rashi thinks that you have to write the Toref of the Shtarot after the fact, and the Tofes you do not have to write, then the order of the Mishnah should have been changed. Because the order of the Mishnah is a increase in chumrah by each of these cases. So you say, a kotev tofse gitin of the Tanakama, who writes that you have to have the tofes left out of the get, and of all these other items. Then you have Rabbi Yehuda, who's posel bekulan, and then you have Rabbi Elazar, who's machshir bekulan, chutz migidei nashim. By gidei nashim, he requires everything to be written out. On the other hand, if you believe, like Rashi, that Rabbi Elazar's opinion is that by the tofsim of other shtarot, he agrees with the Tanakama, and obviously by gitin, he also agrees by the Tanakama. So the difference between them is simply whether by gitin you need the tofes or you don't need the tofes. Then Rabbi Elazar's opinion should have sat between the Tanakama and Rabbi Yehuda, because that would be progressively getting more chamur. You'd have the Tanakama who says, you only have to leave out the toref in all these cases. Then you have Rabbi Elazar who agrees with him in everything except by gitin, says you have to add in the tofes. And then you have Rabbi Yehuda who's pusel bikulan. And that would be the order of the Mishnah. The fact that Rabbi Elazar is brought after Rabbi Yehuda seems to indicate that Rabbi Elazar is much more lukula. That's what Tosfot says over here. V'yesh lamar, d'mi'ita, d'lo mach she'ele betofes, ha'yelo l'gvo adzivir Rabbi Elazar achar tanakama, v'yelo l'katzer. And it should have been a much shorter statement. L'shnot, Rabbi Elazar posel b'gitei nashim. And that would have been it. You wouldn't have to give him any more information. Avam, I Rabbi Elazar ata l'akshuri b'shtarot afilu toref, necha detaner Rabbi Yehuda kodem mishum d'kaya tanakama, dari betofes. Because Rabbi Yehuda is speaking on the words of the Tanakama, who's saying that tofasim are okay, and Rabbi Yehuda is saying no go. Rabbi Elazar b'shtarot machshir tfei mi Tanakama, Rabbi Gitin pasil tfei. By that, he has a difference in opinion. It wouldn't seem between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama. So Tosfot proves from the order of the positions in the Mishnah that if you believe like Rashi, Rabbi Elazar should have sat between Rabbi Yehuda and the Tanakama. The fact that Rabbi Elazar sits after Rabbi Yehuda in the Mishnah shows that his opinion must be totally different, or arguing on multiple stages of the Tanakama, and that he does, according to Tosavot, he disagrees in all shtarot and says you can write whatever you want, and by Gitin he argues fully too, which is that you can't write anything beforehand. Amar Rabbi Yehuda Meshmuel, Tzarich sheniach af makom hariyat mutar lechol adam. That you also have to leave out the space that hariyat mutar lechol adam, because that is the Ikar HaGet. That is the Sefer Kritut that you have to cut off law, you have to write at Lishma, is that the Kritut has to be written in Lishma as well. And therefore you also have to include Hariyam Uter Dechol Adam. So now, as Tosfot raises over here, it's very interesting. Tosfot, he says, B'chol Duchte, throughout Shas, it seems like, Mashma Shekotim Lishon Zeh Baget. That you have to write Hariyat Muter Dechol Adam inside of the get. That's a language that has to be found in the Gitin. He says, V'hini Grabbeinu Tam, L'chtov Lishon Zeh Baget. And he says, Rabbeinu Tam's minog was that people wrote Hariyat Muter Dechol Adam inside of the get. Aval betofse gitin lo yakatuv. But in the boilerplate language of the gitin, it's not there. Obviously here, where they're trying to say that that's a part of the toref, that it's not part of the boilerplate language. So here it's clear. The reason that Tosafot is saying is because they have plenty of gitim that do not have this phrase, Hariyat Muter Dechol Adam, in it. That it was the practice, yeah, that it wasn't found in it at all. And now that causes a problem, because if we demand that you put in Hariyat Mater Dechol Adam, that's going to cast dispersions on the Gitim from the earlier years. If you remember back in the Gemara on Daf, Heimud Bet, the Gemara there was talking about Lishma, and how much he has to see the Sofer write Lishma. And over there, there was the opinion of Rabbi Chai, who said, oh, he has to see the whole thing be written Lishma. And Rabbi Ami and Rabbi Yassi rejected it and said, because you're going to cast dispersions on the Gitim beforehand, that weren't written in that manner. Even if you want to be machmir on yourself, that's one thing. But when your chumrah leads to a problem for all the gitim that come beforehand, you can't do that. So Rabbeinu Tam is faced with this problem. He wants Hariyat Muter Dechol Adam in all the gitin, but they, for years and years, it's not found in any of the gitin. So if he introduces this and forces people to put it in now, it's going to cause problems for all these gitim beforehand. So he's lamed zchut on all these earlier gitim, and he says, they use much more flowery or less directed language, but in the end has the same meaning as Hariyat Muter Dechol Adam. So he says that in spirit, they reach the same conclusion of Hariyat Muter Dechol Adam, they just don't do it in the most direct manner. And so therefore, Rabbeinu Tam is willing to tell them that they have to put it in, and say that I'm not affecting the gitin that came before me because they said it in a less direct manner. Right, the spirit of the get included Hariyat Muter Dechol Adam. Right, so now, Rav Yehuda Meshmuel says that you have to leave out Hariyat Muter Dechol Adam Ve Rabbi Elazar hi damer eide misira karte. And our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Elazar, who says that eide misira karte ubein on ktiva lishma. Because according to Rabbi Elazar, the cut of law, which is lishma, references the get itself, not the chatimot eidim, because he doesn't think that chatimat eidim karte, as opposed to Rabbi Meir who does. And therefore he uses the cut of law to teach you that the get itself has to be written lishma. But Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel is saying is our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Elazar. When he says it's authored by Rabbi Elazar, he does not mean the statement at the end, Rabbi Elazar. He means the entire Mishnah. The Tanakhama of the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar. And of course, the fact that Rabbi Elazar appears in the Mishnah is going to cause a problem for him, because if he's the author as the Tanakhama, why are you mentioning his name later? The Gemara says Vitzricha. And we need this. What do we need? Rabbi Yehuda Amar Shmuel, this is the third time they are saying this. The third Mishnah on which they are saying that it's authored by Rabbi Elazar. So not only did they say it here, they said it in the previous Perek. In Perek Sheni, they said it on two Mishnayot there. One was the Mishnah on Chav Bet, Amud Bet, Ein Kotvim B'Mechubar LeKarka, that you're not allowed to write things that are attached to the ground. And if you do, then you just have to sever it and then sign it and everything be fine. Over there, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, V'hu Shishiyar Makom HaTorif. They said that it's authored by Rabbi Elazar, but he left out the spaces, the places where you have to fill in the main names of the man, the woman, and the time. He left that out. And that's why, even if they wrote it in Mechubar, severed it afterwards and filled that information in, it works. According to Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar is the author, Eile Mesire Karte. Then in Anchav Bet Amud Bet, he says the same thing with regards to the Mishnah, HaKol Ksherim Lechtova Taget, Afilu Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan. Even a Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan can write the get. What about Lishma? How is a Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan Kotev the get? So Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel, same thing. This is Hayi Rabbi Elazar Hi Damar Eide Mesire Karte, Uvedina Ketina Vad Lishma. And what happened over here? Makom HaTorif was left out. That they Shir Makom HaTorif. That the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan didn't write that essential information that was added in afterwards. And that's why we're okay with Lishma. So now you have three times that Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Shmuel said that the Mishnah is Rabbi Elazar. And the same reasoning in each one of them, because he left out the Makom HaTorif. And just like he says over here, he has to leave out Ariat Muter Tuchol Adam Rabbi Elazar Hi. So now Gemara says, Vitzricha, we need all three of these instances. Dish Manyan Hach Kamaita, if you only told me that first case by Mechubar, Ba'ahu Di'ikalokma Rabbi Elazar Gdetani, over there it says, Ein Kotvim. It says that you have a problem in the Mishnah. The Mishnah says you may not write B'Mechubar, Viktani Katavo. And then afterward it writes, oh, if you do. There was a stira in that Mishnah. The Mishnah began, you cannot write a get B'Mechubar. And then right afterwards it says, well, if you did write a get B'Mechubar, then it's okay. Well, how do you reconcile that in the Mishnah? So the reason that they had to reconcile in the Mishnah is because that first statement, Ein Kotvim B'Mechubar L'Karko. So they said, that's Rabbi Elazar. That is the sheet of Rabbi Elazar. You can't write B'Mechubar. Ah, what's the case when you can write B'Mechubar? That's V'Shehu Shashir Makom Torif. They left out the major information from it. And that's the next piece in the Mishnah. Obviously there were other opinions there that could explain it, and we mentioned over there, you could explain according to Rabbi Meir's Shita as well, which is that, Ein Kotvim B'Mechubar is L'Chatchila, but B'Diavad, you're allowed to write B'Mechubar, because Rabbi Meir thinks that K'tiva B'Mechubar is not a problem, as long as the signatories are put on the get after the fact and make it Lishma, that's not an issue at all. But L'Chatchila says, don't write it on the B'Mechubar, because you might sign it B'Mechubar. So here he says, no, it's Rabbi Elazar, and that's how we reconcile that Mishnah. So that's the Chiddush, the first time he said it. Then, Aval Seifa, the next Mishnah, the Tani, Shein Kiyuma Get Ele Bechuta Mav, over there, that was the Mishnah of the Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan. And then, that Mishnah concludes, and this was a problem that we noted at the time, the Mishnah concludes, Shein Kiyuma Get Ele Bechuta Mav. The Kiyuma Get is with its signatories. That sounds exactly like Rabbi Meir. The easiest way to explain that Mishnah would have been according to Rabbi Meir. And that's what Amar Yehuda Amar Shmuel comes to teach you, that Emar Rabbi Meir he, you would have thought that it's Rabbi Meir, Damar Eide Chemiti Makarte, and the conclusion is, no, it is Rabbi Elazar, and that statement of Sheina Get Kiyuma Get El Bechotamav is not referencing the first statement of the Mishnah of Cheresh Shoteh V'Katan, but rather the next statement, which is Aisha Kutevet Et Gita, that a woman can write her own get, because she can do it Lishma, and she can write it Lishma, and that's why it's not a problem. Ein Kiyuma Get El Bechotamav. Now, according to Rabbi Elazar, you have to explain that differently. I mentioned at the time in the Mishnah, the alternative way to explain it for Rabbi Elazar. Here, Rashi says it directly. He says, Because the majority of the Eidei Mesira are also the ones who sign in the get. So that's what it means. The Kiyuma gets b'chutamav means the Eidei Mesira. V'rov Gitin chatumim heim. Afilu Rabbi Elazar b'nei Tikkun Olam. And majority of Gitin, even according to Rabbi Elazar, are signed because of Tikkun Olam. Rabbi Elazar agrees that we should sign on the Gitin of Tikkun Olam so that we have Edim after the fact to testify about the Kashrut HaGet or the validity of the get. But in the end, it's Eidei Mesira Karadim. We saw others that say chutamav means the completion of the get. There are other ways to explain the word chotamav. So that's the chiddush there. That's why Rabbi Yehuda Mishmol said over there, it's like Rabbi Elazar. So maybe if we said it by the first Mishnah and the second Mishnah, that makes sense to set up Rabbi Elazar. Avaha, in our Mishnah, aim be the safer Rabbi Elazar, haveresh alav Rabbi Elazar. Well, if Rabbi Elazar is mentioned explicitly in our Mishnah at the end of the Mishnah, it's very hard to argue that he is the Tanakhama as well. So you thought that's not the case? Tzricha, that's why you need Shmuel in each of these cases. So in each of these cases, there's a reason why you would have believed that Rabbi Elazar should not have been the author of the Mishnah. And in each instance, I'm Rabbi Yehuda Shmuel, Rabbi Elazar is the author of the Mishnah. The question of why he's going through this difficulty or trying to do this, so Omari, Dafu Pisho said, Tzrichuta Bezeh, Mikom Makom Istaver, Da'acheh Chachatano. It makes more sense to say that it's all going like one Tana. Hear me, that you have a consistent opinion across all of these Mishnayot. So even though there are reasons to say that it is not Rabbi Elazar, and there are ways to explain that it's not Rabbi Elazar, we'd rather keep a certain consistency across the Mishnayot. B'miuchad, the Mishnayot in the second parak, which are in the same parak. Over here, maybe you could argue it's already a new parak, the other Mishnayot in between. But over there, those two Mishnayot, it makes sense to say that they're both authored by Rabbi Elazar, to keep a consistent Tana for both of those Mishnayot. So Shmuel is coming to teach us in each of these instances. You might have thought otherwise, but I'm telling you that it's authored by Rabbi Elazar, despite the evidence to the contrary. In the Mishnah, it is authored by Rabbi Elazar. In our Mishnah, we'll have to answer the problem as to why you have Rabbi Elazar saying one thing in the Reisha, and then appearing again in the Seifa, which means that he's arguing on himself, and that's very difficult. So now the Gemara says, Mipnei HaTakana. Again, this is not the order of the Mishnah, because the Mishnah is going to go back and deal with other issues. But Mipnei HaTakana seems to be giving the reason as to why the get, you can write the toface of get and you have to leave out the other information. What is the Takana that was put in place? Mipnei HaTakana appears in the Mishnah after the Tanakama's full statement. But the Gemara is going to that first, assuming that Mipnei HaTakana is referencing the first part of that is about the Gitin. My Takana. Amar Rabbi Yonatan Mipnei Takanat Sofer. The takana here is for the benefit of the scribes. V'Rabbi Elazar Damar Eide Mesira Karte. It's Rabbi Elazar who says that Eide Mesira Karte Ubedinu Tafilu Tofes Nami Lo Lichtov. The truth is he shouldn't even have written the boilerplate language because according to Rabbi Elazar you have to write the get lishma because Eide Mesira Karte V'Katov La Lishma references the get itself. If that's the case, you shouldn't be able to write anything of the get, including the Tofes. Now, of course you can write the Tofes, because that's not the stuff that has to be the Shema, but if we allow you to write the Tofes, we're afraid you're going to write the Toref also. So because of that, it should have not been able to write anything of the get. So what is the Takana? Da'afil Tofes nami lo lichtov, and therefore, you shouldn't have written any of the get. U'mishum takanat sofrim sharu rabbonon. And for the benefit of the sofrim, the rabbonon allowed this, because otherwise, what's going to happen? You're going to have these parties that show up. They need a get right away. The sofer is in the middle of doing another job, in the middle of doing something else. Now he's going to have to drop everything to write this get. And it's going to be problematic. Either it'll cause a delay, or there'll be problems with that. So what they allowed him to do is create these boilerplates that he would have ready. And therefore, if they showed up to him, he just had to fill in the husband, the wife, the time. And then the get would be kasher. He wouldn't have to leave his other work. It would make it more efficient for the sofer in order to have gitin or boilerplates ready. And then you just fill in the relevant information. The same way is in why people print or have pre-printed contracts or ketubot and leaving out the major information, because it's much easier to do instead of having to write from scratch each time you have to deal with it. Rabbi Yehuda posel bekulan. Rabbi Yehuda posel bekulan gazar tofes atu toref. Because he's gozer all the tofasim atu the toref, meaning the same reasoning, but he says, look, it's nice to have this takana, but it's too risky. And therefore we're going to say you can't write anything ahead of time because you're risking the lishma aspect of it. And he's also gozer shtarot atu gitin. So by gitin he says you can't write the boilerplate because you might write the toref. And by other shtarot, in order to reinforce the gzeira by gitin, we said also by other shtarot you can't write anything. Rabbi Yehuda says you have to write everything from scratch. Now, this is possibly Rabbi Yehuda l'shitato that we saw earlier. We saw him in the Mishnah in the previous parak, as well as in the first parak. They quote Rabbi Yehuda, who requires both ktivah and chatima lishma. So he requires a large amount of the get to be lishma, both the toref and the chatima. So for him, there's a lot of reason to say that you shouldn't write anything beforehand, because he needs everything to be lishma. And if you let him write the tofes, then you risk the toref or the chatima. For him, he wants nothing written ahead of time. Rabbi Lazar, makshir bekulan, chutz migitei nashin. And Rabbi Lazar says exactly what you're saying. Look, Rabbi Yehuda, I can agree with you with regards to gitei nashim, because of tofes atu toref. That it makes sense to say don't write the boilerplate because of the toref. Gazar shtarot atu gitin lo gazar. Shtarot atu gitin is not guzer. Here depends whether you're saying like Rashi or Tosafot how you read this. Rashi reads this shtarot atu gitin lo gazar by the tofes. He's not guzer that way. Shtarot by the toref, he says yes, you have to write it afterwards. But to be guzer, the tofes atu the toref atu gitin, that is a gzera the gzera, like you're saying. Which is that the fact that you don't write by the shtar, the toref, is already only because of the gitin. And then, to not write the tofes by the shtar is because you're afraid of the toref. That's a gzeira, the gzeira. And Rabbi Lezer says you don't need it. That's the way Rashi reads it. Tosafot reads it. Shtarot, atu gitin, lo gazar, period. At all. Shtarot, you don't have to worry about it at all. Gitin, tofes, atu toref, fine. By shtarot, they have nothing to do with lishma. There's no lishma in shtarot at all. And therefore, according to Tosafot, right, Rabbi Lezer believes you can write whatever you want ahead of time. It can all be pre-printed or written up beforehand. All right. Now, Shenemar, Vikotav La. The reasoning behind Rabbi Lozer's Shita is because it says, Vikotav La, Lishma. That it's written Lishma. The Gemara says, Vaha, Kikitav La, a Toref, hu dichtiv. The Vikotav La, Lishma is a reason why you can't fill in the Toref. You can't fill in the Toref because it has to be done Lishma. Over here, Rabbi Lozer is bringing it as the reason. Rabbi Lozer makshir b'kulan, chutz mikitei nashim. By kitei nashim, he says it's not mutar. You can't even write the Tofes. Well, what does the tofes have to do with kotav la? Kotav la is a demand that the toref be written lishma. This has nothing to do with the tofes. Yet, the way that the Mishnah is laid out, it seemingly is giving the reason why Rabbi Lazar says you also can't write the tofes. He disagrees with the Tanakam and says you can't write the tofes. Why? Because it says kotav la lishma. Well, the Tanakam also agrees kotav la lishma. That's why you can't write the toref. It's a reason for the toref, not for the tofes. And that's what the Gemara says. Ela ema, emend the Mishnah to read this way. Mishum shenemar. So he adds in the one word mishum. Shenemar v'katav la lishma. So if you look in the Mishnah, Rabbi Lazar makshir b'kulan chutz migitei nashim. Mishum shenemar v'katav la lishma. Because it says by the toref it has to be lishma, therefore by the tofes I don't want you writing it again. It's not the reason for the tofes, it's the reason for the toref, but because of the toref I want you to keep the tofes also. I don't want you writing the boilerplate. So adding in the word mishum tells you that it's not the direct reason for the tofes, but because the toref requires lishma, I also want you leading out the tofes, the boilerplate language, so you don't get mixed up with these items. Now, the Gemara asked the question that was obvious from the Gemara before, Kasha the Rabbi Lazar at the Rabbi Lazar. The way that Shmuel set up the Mishnah now, you have two opinions of Rabbi Lazar in the Mishnah. Rabbi Lazar the Tanakamo, who says that you only have to leave out the toref in all these cases, and Rabbi Lazar of the Seifa, according to Rashi, who only argues in Gitin, it says you have to also leave out the Tofes, or according to Tosafot, who's arguing both on the Shtarot and on the Gitin in the Seifa, so you have a stira within Rabbi Elazar, and the Gemara says, Trei Tanei, Valib de Rabbi Elazar. You have two Tanaim who are explaining Rabbi Elazar's opinion, or what Rabbi Elazar's opinion in this case. So that's the way that the Gemara deals with it, and the question of whether, according to Rashi, Tofse Gitin can or cannot be written ahead of time, that would be the only difference between them, according to Rashi. According to Tosafot, it's whether Shtarot completely can be written or not would also be the difference between these two opinions. And here we have two Tanaim that are telling us the opinion of Rabbi Elazar. Now the Gemara says, Rav Shabtai Amar. Now Rav Shabtai is going back to explain what the reason for the Takana is. And this, David, you were asking before, maybe the Takana is the other way around. Who says you have to be protecting the Sofer? Maybe it's protecting the parties over here. And that's the way Chizkiah sees it. So Rav Shabtai Amar Chizkiah Mishum Ktata, that the reason Mipnei Takana is because of discord or quarrels that will be caused by this, Rabbi Meir here. And it's authored by Rabbi Meir. Damar Ede Chatima Karte, since the signatories are correct on it, B'dinu Dafilu Toref Nami Lichtof, therefore in the Reisha, the Tanakama is Rabbi Meir, And you could write, you could have written anything. I mean, that you could write the whole get beforehand because there's no demand for lishma in a get according to Rabbi Meir. The only thing that has to be lishma is the signatories to it. Bezimnin, teshamalei lesofer dekat kativ. That the woman gets wind of the fact that the sofer is writing her a get. Vesavra ihu kamarle. And she thinks her husband told the sofer to write the get. Babalak tata badei. And that will cause there to be even more animosity or discord in the marriage because she thinks that he wants to divorce her. So the sofer of his own initiative went ahead and wrote the whole get out. And again, why did he write the get out? Because he heard them fighting. And so he heard them fighting. He says, you know what? Let me get a jump on this. Good business. I'll be ready for them when they finish fighting and they come to me for the get. I'll have it all ready. The woman gets wind of this, thinks her husband told the sofer to do this. And that causes the complete breakdown in the marriage because she thinks he's already decided to divorce her. So in order to protect against that type of eventuality or problem, they said no filling in gitin until it's time to fill in the get. It's not a foregone conclusion until it is a conclusion. And therefore we give chances for reconciliation before that point in time. And that's the reason. It's Rabbi Meir who says, you know, you could write the whole get ahead of time. Why do you leave it at the Torah? To prevent this type of foregone conclusion or discord between the parties. Now we have a third opinion. It's a takana for agunot that we allow this to happen. Amila Rabbi Meir, Amila Rabbi Lozer. Some say that according to Rav Chista's reasoning of Minei HaTakana, the Mishnah is authored according to Rabbi Meir. Some say it was authored by Rabbi Elazar. Amila Rabbi Meir, some said he's saying this within the position of Rabbi Meir. Damar Ede Chatima Karte. Udinu Dafilu Toref Namilich Tov. So they should have written the whole get, because according to Rabbi Meir, you can write everything ahead of time. Sometimes he would have a disagreement with his wife. Virata Chalai gets super angry at her. Vizarik Lai Niala. And he throws the get at her. Umagain Umotivla. And the way Rashi reads this, I'll read the Gemara according to Rashi, we'll come back and discuss others. He divorces her and leaves her divorcee now because he throws the get at her. So what we're trying to do here, according to this view, is slow down the process of divorce, allow for more time for reconciliation. We're going to see this later in the Masechet as well with Kohanim, that they made a takana for the type of gitin that Kohanim had to use because once a Kohen divorces his wife, he cannot take her back. So they wanted to slow down the process. And we know Kohanim are a little more zrizim or hot-headed, and therefore they are quick to act. And we saw that Shevet Levi has that in the Torah. And we see that with Moshe Rabbeinu in Parshat Shmot that we just read, right? That they are kanaim, and they're charet al devar Hashem. And so we are worried about the fact that the Kohen might act quickly, and so the Gemara Mishnah Ayot talk about a takana for Kohanim. Similarly over here, Mipnei HaTakana is to slow down the process of divorce, so that it won't be easy for to divorce the woman. We saw that in the Ketubot as well, with the takanot of the Ketubah, that they changed the nature of the Ketubah so it would be harder to divorce. Originally, the properties used to be given to the woman and she would hold the property. So it was very easy for the man to divorce her because he didn't really have access to the property. It wasn't his, it was sitting with the woman anyway. And so the money was already segregated out. So when he wanted to divorce, he just threw it out. They came to a conclusion that they encumbered all of his property, but none of it was segregated. So that means he has full rights to use it. When he divorces her, he's actually going to have to take out of his property and hand it to her. But they protected the woman by having her have a lien on everything that he owns in order to pay the ketubah. Again, that was a balance between giving protection to the woman, but also slowing down the process of divorce so that it wasn't so easy for the husband to divorce the woman because there was a cost to the divorce. And similarly over here, there's a way to slow down the divorce by having them write it. And by writing the get, it takes time. There's time for people to cool off and cooler heads to prevail here. And so therefore, we don't want the get pre-written because otherwise it's going to accelerate the divorce process. Amrila Rabbi Lozer, some say that it is altered by Rabbi Lozer according to this. Damar Ede Misire Karte, Ubedinu Dafilu Tofes Lamilo Lichtov, that even the boilerplate you shouldn't have written, Vizimnin Dabayla Mezala Medina Tayam, that sometimes the guy is leaving on a trip and they got into a fight right before he's leaving, Veloshkach Safra, and they're not going to find a sofer to write the get, Vishavikla, and then he takes off and leaves her, Vazil Magin Emotivla, and she's when he left, in a sense, an aguna, because he didn't divorce her, but he was angry enough that he would have divorced her. And therefore, he just leaves her hanging here without a get. So in this second case, the word again seems to make more sense, because here the aguna is that he won't have the opportunity to divorce her, even though he should have divorced her, and therefore he's going to leave overseas. And when they left overseas, it wasn't for a couple of days, that was for months or years at a time when they traveled overseas. And this poor woman is going to be left behind as an aguna. In the first case, Rashi explains Uma Agenla means that he divorces her. Well, we think the term igun in general is from the word anchor. Anchor means seems to be that she's tied down or she's locked down. The way Rashi is explaining it, Uma Agena Moti Lakashi Migureshit, when she's divorced. Rashi sees the term here meaning simply she is divorced. Why is she called Me Agen? It's hard to know why he uses the term. Rashi seemingly thinks that even when she's divorced, it leaves her in a bad position, because in that time, women who were divorced had a hard time getting remarried. It was very unlikely that a woman who was divorced got remarried. And therefore, when he divorces her, when he could have reconciled, it's bad for the woman. That's what you'd have to say in the name of Rashi. Other Rishonim clearly say the word again means to leave her in a difficult position. And what I thought when I read the Gemara, and this is the way many of the Rishonim explain it, is that he's going to throw the get to her, because he's so angry, he has to get ready, he's just going to toss at her. And there's a Gemara later on discusses Safek Karav Lo, Safek Karav La. If he throws the get, it's not clear if it's closer to him or closer to her, whether it went into her possession or stayed in his possession. She becomes a Safek Migureshet. And then she's uncertain as to whether she's divorced, and that's Igun, because then she doesn't marry to this husband, but she can't get married because of the Safek Gerushin, and that's caused by, again, part of this might be his ability to expeditiously divorce his wife. He's just going to throw it at her because he just has it. He can throw it at her, and that's going to lead to this problem. If he has to go to the sofer, he has to have it written, it slows things down, and maybe he'll hand it to her, or we're hoping that he'll hand it to her in a more proper manner, because they have to go to the sofer, they have to take care of this. It will, again, be a more well thought out and proper process, rather than this hot-headed throwing the get and getting her out of the house right away. So for either of those reasons, this is the takana here. So you have three opinions as to what the takana is, allowing for the tofes to be written and not the toreif. And depending which opinion, it will tell you whether it's authored by Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Elazar. In the first case where it was Rabbi Elazar, Mipnei HaTakana was to allow for Sofrim to have ready-made gitin. The second one was saying that we didn't want to create strife between husband and wife. It's Rabbi Meir who says you can write everything, but we leave out Makom HaToreif in order that we don't cause that discord. And then the last opinion was that the Mipnei HaTakana is or Rabbi Meir or Rabbi Elazar, it's to protect against agunot, to protect against the women being left in this difficult position. If it's Rabbi Elazar, because maybe the guy will leave overseas and not have it get ready. If it's according to Rabbi Meir, maybe it'll be too quick to divorce her. Right now, the Gemara says, Umakom Azman. Now the Gemara goes back in the Mishnah, which I told you before. The Gemara skips down and then goes back. Now it's telling you, why do you have to leave out the date in the document? Kapasik Vitani. The Mishnah makes a definitive statement that you always have to leave out the date in the get. Loshna mina nisuin, loshna mina erusin. It doesn't matter whether you're talking about nisuin or erusin. Bishlama mina nisuin. I understand why a marriage that is consummated, we want you to leave out the date on it. Ben lamandamar mishum batachuto ika. Ben lamandamar mishum pere ika. So this is going back to what we saw earlier on Daf Yud Zayin, as the reason you need to have the proper date in the get. One of the reasons was Shema Yechapeh, because he might try to cover up. He's married to his niece who has an extramarital affair, and he's trying to cover up for her, protect her, so they predate the get in order to make it look like she was divorced before she had the affair. Or Mishum Pere, which we discussed back there, which is that the husband is entitled to the perot of the Nichsei Melog until the date of the divorce. And if the document is dated improperly, then either the woman or the man will make an improper claim against the perot. Either the woman will come to get her perot back, or the man will keep the perot too long. Either way, it's going to cause a problem, so we need the proper date in there. For either of those reasons, when they're fully married, it makes sense to date the get. Ela mina erusin, but if it's talking about erusin, then bishlom al demandamar mishum batachuto ika. According to the one who says that we're doing it because we want to prevent this cover-up that happens when people will predate the get, then that's applicable by erusin, just like by nisuin. An extramarital affair during erusin, extramarital affair during nisuin, both of them are punishable by the death penalty, and they're both problematic. So in either case, predating the get has benefit or will be used to cover up. And therefore, you would understand why you need a date in both of them. If you're talking about the one who says the whole reason for dating the get is to make sure we know when the cutoff for the period of the Nichsei Melogar, that doesn't happen during Erusin. The Ketubah is generally associated with the Nisuin. And so since the Ketubah only goes to effect at the Nisuin, the Perot only become an issue at the time of the Nisuin. If she's divorced from the Erusin, there were no Perot going. The husband had no entitlement to the Perot, and therefore the date of the get is not so important. So then over there, why do you need to leave out the date of the get? Why is the proper dating of the get so significant by an Erusa, according to the one who says that the whole reason for the date is to tell us when the Perot switched from the husband back to the wife? Now, it's interesting because Rashi and other places suggest that there are places or there was a minhag to give the ketubah at the time of Erusin, not just at Nisuin. Here it's clear from the Gemara that the ketubah only was given at the time of Nisuin and not at the time of Erusin. Amar Rav Amram, Milta Shmait Minei De'ula. I heard this, or something I heard from Ula. Damar Mishom Takanat Vlad. The reason for this is because of Takanat Vlad. V'lo yadana mainihu. I didn't understand what he was saying. He seemingly was explaining this Gemara, or he was saying something, Mibnei Takanat Vlad, and I didn't know what he was talking about. Came into Shmaita Laha Detanya. After I heard this Braita, then I understood better what Ula was doing to explain this Gemara. Omer Kitvu Get Larusati, Likashe Echnesena Egershena. Says, write a get for the woman I am now currently halachically engaged to. Because when I marry her, I'm going to divorce her. He's predetermined that he's going to marry her and then divorce her immediately afterwards. Ain't no get. It is not a get. Why it's not a get is interesting. Rashi over here says it's ain't no get because it's a get yashanhu. It's a get yashan, which we've seen earlier. Rashi discussed this earlier with the guys, Shema Pies. Maybe there was an appeasement. Maybe they reconciled after the get was written and that causes a problem. Rashi over there said, that's Get Yashan. Get Yashan is a case where the husband and wife are in Yichud after the get was written, after the date on the get. The problem being that we're afraid that they have Yichud, when they're in Yichud, that they had Biyah. They had Biyah, then the marriage was not terminated, and the get becomes a Pasul Get because it's dated prior to their real severing of their relationship because they had Biyah after that time. So Rashi over here says the same thing, ain't no get. It's not a get. Why? Because you have a get yashan. Tosafot over here says that that's not so simple. Because the same reason why the Tosafot back on Yud Chet Amud Bet, where Tosafot argues on Rashi that Shem and P.A.s cannot be talking about get yashan, because the get yashan is only pasul lechatchila. But b'diavad, if a woman gets married with a get yashan, it's a get kasher. So get yashan is only a lechatchila problem, it's not a b'diavad problem. And therefore, over here, when it says "ainu get," it doesn't sound like it's a get yashan. So Tosva, back by Shema Pies, said for sure it's not a get yashan, and he explains it that he may have been nullified the get, he may have been mevatel the get, and that's the problem. Over here, the Rabbeinu Tam makes a distinction and says that Rashi's right about get yashan, but this get yashan is different than your classic case of get yashan. In your classic case of get yashan, they had yichud after the date on the get, but that's all we know, that they had yichud. Our suspicions are, once they had Yichud, that more than Yichud happened. But we don't know that for certain. In our case over here, we know he had Biyah afterwards. Because he says, Lich she'echnesena egershena. After I consummate the marriage, I'm going to divorce her. So it's not just Yichud, we know that they had Biyah. And therefore over here, this Get Yashan is completely pasul. And that's how Rabbeinu Tam solves this problem of Get Yashan. Omer Rabbeinu Tam, the Get Yashan leka ela Yichud ba'alma. And since there is Bia, it doesn't work at all. Now, back in the Gemara in Yevamot, over there, we said that actually when he does this, it works. That the get is a good get. Because, b'pnei she'ado l'garsha, he has the ability to divorce her now. While he's in Erusin, he can give her a get. So he says to the sofer, write me a get so that once I consummate the marriage, I will divorce her. He's allowed to write the get, and the get works. There, it seems to be that it's a good get, because he has the right to divorce her now. He has the right to say, I'll divorce her in the future. And it's a good get. So he says, the perish akunshus necha, the perisham, the get yashan mi ahavi. Rashi says over there that it works, the get, but it's a get yashan. And the get yashan doesn't work lechat kil, only works bidyabad. Rabbeinu Tam afarish, ta'atamari, kishakata bozman hanitina. Tafil get yashan lo havi. Beinu Tam differentiates in the cases as to what date he put in the get. Over here, he puts the date in the get today, and then he says, when I marry her, I will divorce her. That is a get yashan, and that is a problem, and that's why this get fails over here. The case in Yevamot is where he says, put the date of our marriage in there. So that he says, in the future, in 2 weeks from now, I want you to date the get for 2 weeks from now. Then he says, it works. Because when he marries her, the document divorce will be dated for that day, and it won't be a get yashan. And that's why it works over there. You have to be careful here of exactly what the get yashan that we're speaking about. Again, the nature of the get yashan, and what date was put on this document that makes it into a get yashan. So now he says, after I heard this braita, and then Amar Rab Zera, Amar Rabba Barshila, Amar Rab Amnuna, Amar Ula, Matam. So Ula on that braita says, what's the reason over here that there's a problem? Why do we care so much about the date in the get of an Erusa? Zera, Shema Yomru, Gita, Kodim Livna. We worry about the problem that maybe the get came before her son. Hachanami, Zera, Shema Yomru, Gita, Kodim Livna. So over here we worry about the fact that the get came before her son. So now, over there in the case of the braita, you have a risk, which is that if he says that he's going to give her a get after he consummates the marriage, that means that he will have bia with her. If he has bia with her, there's a chance she became pregnant, and then she will have a baby. Many years later, they will look at the divorce document and see that the divorce document is dated prior to her conception of the baby, prior to having the baby. And that means that she was divorced when she had the baby. Now, technically, if she's divorced when she had the baby, there's nothing inherently wrong, because the baby is not a mamzer, there's nothing wrong, but just a baby out of wedlock. But a baby out of wedlock is frowned upon. Rashi over here calls it mishom begam mishpacha. It's something that looks terrible for the family, that it's something that is unacceptable that she became pregnant outside of a marriage. And so, it's not that there's inherently something wrong with the child, it's just that this is a single mother who was mezaneh, not in the sense of an extramarital affair, but is willing to engage with men outside of marriage, and so that is what would be looked down upon in this situation. And because of that fear, we don't allow him to date the get prior to the consummation of his marriage, because of this problem that could arise. So he says, Hachanami, so too in our case, and now that's what he's saying, I understand what Ula means now. The reason that you need a date in the get is Zera Shemi Yamru Gita Kodim Livna. Because maybe they'll say that the get came before her child. Now this is somewhat difficult because over here, he doesn't marry her. He's giving her the get during Erusin. So if he gives her the get during Erusin, then what is this possibility of Shema that the get was prior to the child? Because there's no such possibility over here. So what you have to say is, the possibility is that he changed his mind. That after he said, I'm going to divorce her, he gets the get written while they're be'erusin, then he decides to marry her and gives her the get after the fact. So that's, you probably have to say something along those lines here, that's our fear, that again, this will become a get prior to the child because of the nature of writing the get during the erusin. And that's why we won't allow you to put in a date when it comes to him and he goes, listen, can you write a get for my wife? I want the get dated now. And then he only gives it to her much later on after the consummation of the marriage. So that's what we're afraid of, and that's why we won't let the sofer write the date in until they're ready to get divorced, so the divorce is about to happen. Tosfot already asks on that, and he says there'll be a problem. Because the edim that come to sign on the get will say, I am divorcing my wife, the arusa. When you write in the get, it will say the divorce is from erusin, or the divorce is from nisuin. So he goes to the sofer and says, I want to divorce my wife, who I am halachically engaged to. Sofer writes the get, he's divorcing his wife, the arusa, and he puts a date in it. He holds on to the get, and then gives it to her only after they consummate the marriage and there's nisuin. So the edim are reading the get, and they're saying, wait a minute, it says here you're divorcing your wife who's an arusa, you're a nisua now. You can't use this get. And the edim won't sign on it. So what's our fear here then? We're afraid that the get will come before her child is born. If it's just an arusin, there are no children, because they didn't have biyah. If you're telling me he's going to wait till after nisuin to give her the get says arusa in it, and she's a nisua now, so the edim won't sign on it. So the Beinu Tam says a similar thing again, which is, Edim are not so careful. And he said this also by Edim Isira before, that the Edim Isira don't necessarily know the man and woman, and they don't know that it's them and not someone else. They just say, give us your ID card. Their name matches what's in the get. And they say, fine, okay, we'll sign on this get, no problem, or we'll see that you give the get to your wife. Not knowing that there's another person with the same name in the city, They're not so careful about that. They just make sure of the kind of details here. He says the same thing over here. They will think that she's still in Arusa. They have no clue that he got married to her, that they consummated the marriage. So he says, oh, so then that means that people don't necessarily know that she is a Nisua. Well, if that's the case, what about a Likuchot? How come the Kuchot then are... So he says something interesting. He says, Shomar, Likuchot lo yiknu perot, im lo shiedu Nisua hita. Ve'viu edim akach. Likuchot, buyers of the perot, will not buy perot from the husband until they know 100% sure that he has control over the property and the marriage was consummated. And they'll demand that the husband shows them that he's married. And so in that case, they'll start to buy perot. V'gamal b'na yidaktiku, v'yerush nidabra lifnei hazman. Or also later on, when they go look at the child, they'll look back and they'll see. They'll find out when she got married. They'll get edim to this fact. So therefore, there is a kol that she got married, but the exact date of the marriage isn't known so well. And that means that these edim don't necessarily know that she got married, but people who it's important to know when they get married, you can find the information out. So he says that it's known if you want to know it, but if you don't go looking for it, it's not necessarily obvious to you when they got married, and therefore the edim will sign on such a get, and we have to worry about such a get that's katuv l'arusa, even though it's really be given after the nisuin. Right now the Gemara continues. Amar Rabbi Zeira, Amar Rabbi Abba Bashila, Amar Rab Hamnuna, Saba, Amar Rab Adar Ba'ava, Amar Rav. A long list of Amaraim here, all the way back to Rav. Halacha ki Rabbi Elazar. The halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. What does that mean? Rashi says, "Shepusel b'tofsei gitin gzera mishum toref." That the halacha here is like Rabbi Lazar, that we worry about tofsei gitin unto the toref, like the Rabbi Lazar of the Seifa, that we don't let you write even the boilerplate language. You have to write the get from scratch when we start over here, and that's the halacha is like Rabbi Lazar. Kara Rav Alei the Rabbi Lazar, Rav gave the nickname to Rabbi Lazar, Tuvina de Chakimei, the best of the Chachamim. Vafilu b'shtar shterot nami. Now, when Rav says halacha is k'ir Rabbi Elazar, does he mean simply by gitin, like Rashi explains over here, or does that argument of Rabbi Elazar and Rabbi Yehuda, and he says that by tofsei shterot it's okay? Rav also says halacha is like Rabbi Elazar. Did Rav accept halacha like Rabbi Elazar across the board? We know, as he said before, by gitin he accepted it that you can't even write the tofei seget, but by shterot did he accept that either according to Rashi, you don't have to write, you can write the tofes ahead of time, or according to Tosva, you can write the whole shtar ahead of time. V'amar Rapapi mishmei de Rova, that Rapapi says in the name of Rova, hi, asharta de daine, dimichteva mikame de sade sade achatimat yadayu psula. If the Beit Din is going to validate a document, and the document has a deem signed on it, and the Edim are coming to testify that these are their signatures, or others are coming to testify that they know these signatories, and they recognize the signatures. And so Beit Din is going to validate the shtar based on this. So Beit Din knows that they have people coming in today. They know that they have Edim to it. So what the Sofrim of the Beit Din do is they write the asharta, they write the validation ahead of time, and they have it all ready, and it's all signed and ready to go, and they judges hold it until the people show up and give them the evidence, but it was written ahead of time. So over there, Rapapi says the name of Rava, that is problematic. If you write the validation of the, whether it's a get, a shtar, whatever Beit Din was doing, if you read that validation prior to it happening, psula, it's no good. Why? Alma mechzei kashikra, because it looks like a lie. It's ready, signed, dated, before anything's happened, before any edim showed up, before any evidence. Now, even though they know that's going to be the case, and they don't hand it over until the evidence is brought, it still looks like sheker because it was completed before. And it looks like they had a foregone conclusion, and that's not right. And as Tosfot notes over here, Romari, the rabuta hi, the basharta, afo bi shiodim, shechatimat edim emet, muzumanim edim lifneem lekayama, that it is Mexico shikra, even though they know all the information ahead of time, they know that it's going to be true. And that's the chiddush here, that even in that case, it's considered mechzei kashikra. Hachanami, mechzei kashikra. It should be the same thing when you're talking about shtarot in general. If you don't leave out the makoma toref, then it looks like you are having the documents written up, drawn up, before there's any conclusion to whatever's happened, before the sale happened, before the loan happens. It's all written up ahead of time. It looks like it is sheker. It looks like the document is not a real document. Veleta. And that's not the case. We disagree with this. And the way you can see Tosfot adds in the words, the letter to Rav Papi. We don't hold of this issue of Rav Papi of Mechse Kishikra, mid Rav Nachman, because of Rav Nachman. Now, what that means that Elovaleta, Tosfot mentions over here that some Girsaot don't have the Girsa that he has, which is Leta the Rav Papi, but they say the Leta in general. It means Uperish, the Leta, the Bishtarot, Luchashina Mechse Kishikra. So you can see that there are two possibilities of reading the Leta over here. One possibility of reading the Leta is what Tosfot says. We reject Rav Papi. Even by the Asharta the Dino, we don't worry about it. It doesn't look like Sheker. On the other hand, others read it, Valetta means, no, Rav Papi's right. By the Asharta, the validation documents of the Beit Din, you can't write it ahead of time. But by Shtarot, it doesn't look like Sheker. And that's what it means, Valetta. Either way, it turns out that Rav would paskin, like Rav Elazar, even by Shtarot, and that you can write the entire Shtar according to Tosfot ahead of time, or according to Rashi, you can write the Tofus ahead of time. By the way, this is the big proof that Tosfot has that he's right about this, because what does it look like Mechse Kishikra? According to Rashi, who said that Rav Elazar in the Mishnah believes that by all other Shtarot, you can't write the Toref, but you can't write the Tofes, why is it Mechse Kishikra? What information did you put in there that makes it look like Shikra? According to Tosfot, you can write the whole document ahead of time, that looks like Sheker. And that's one of his biggest proofs that he's right, that when Rav Elazar says in the Mishnah, you can write Shtarot, it means everything in the Shtar, because that's what's Mechse Kishikra. Rashi is going to have to explain over here, Mechse Kishikra means that they're already drawing up a document, even though it's not complete. You write about the Torah because of the Tofes. Rashi's going to have to give a different explanation of what the Mechse Kishikra is over here. Damar Rav Nachman, Omer Rabbi Meir, Afilu Mitzao Bashpa. Even if you find a get in the garbage dump, Chatmu Vinatnula, they signed it and gave it to her, Kashir, it's Kashir. Varfilu Rabbanu Lo Pligi Aleid Rabbi Meir, and the Rabbanu who argue on you may be Meir, they're only arguing on him Ela Begitei Nashim. Debein and Ktiva Lishma, because they require Ktiva Lishma. She taught Rabbi Elazar that the Ktiva has to be Lishma, and that's why they argue on Rabbi Meir. Aval B'shtar Shtarot, no. In cases where you don't need Lishma, they would agree with Rabbi Meir that you could simply pull it out of the garbage and have it signed, and the Shtar would be just fine. So you see from here that we don't worry about pre-written Shtarot. Pre-written Shtarot are just fine. Sign on the document. Adam Rabbah Siyam Rabbi Yochanan, Shtar Shalavabo. If a person lent out money with a given document, uparo, and then the debtor returned the money, eno chuzer velovebo. He cannot go back and lend it again. So for instance, the same day, he lends money to a debtor one day, the debtor pays back the money that day, and then he wants to borrow the money again later in the day. So the guy says, all right, we'll just use the same star. Everything's right, the date's right, everything's right. Let's use it again. The Gemara says you may not do that, or Rambam Yochanan says you can't do that. Why? Shekvar nimchal shibudo. Because the encumberment that is generated through the get has already been waived. Which is after the repayment of the first loan, then he waives the shibud. The get, this document can't create a new shibud unless it's written over. If you use the same document again, it'll be equivalent of a milveh alpeh and not a milveh bichtav. Remember, the reason that we want a milveh bishtar and why that allows you to encumber property is because when the edim sign on it, it makes it a public issue. Over here, where they signed the first time, made it a public issue, then he forgave it and he says, we're done. And then they go and lend again. What's going to end up happening is the second time it's not being public again because the shibud was already wiped out and therefore it's no encumberment. The Gemara says, time on the nimchal shibudo. The only reason you can't reuse it is because he was mochel on the shibud. You see from there that we don't worry about the falsity in the shtar. Now, Rashi over here says that's only if he wrote the shtar earlier that day with the date of that day. You can't write a shtar with the wrong date on it. That is sheker. Because if you predate the shtar, now you have a shtar mukdam, and that allows this creditor to go after buyers who he doesn't really have a right to go after because you predated the shtar. So the shtar has to have the right date on it. So it's not like here he's saying, oh, you wrote it 5 days ago, we can use the shtar now. No, if you wrote the shtar earlier in the day, and then later that same day, they can use it because the date is correct in it. Now, some say that you can write everything ahead of time. The Ramban says over here that if the document has anything in it that clearly looks like sheker, you can't use it. So even though we're not choshesh for sheker in general, where it really looks like sheker, and it looks obviously like sheker, we will not allow it. And that goes back to the girsa of leta. If you say leta means that by shtarot we allow it because it doesn't look like sheker, that means by asharta d'dainei we would not allow it. And that Rav Papi's din stands, you just do not extrapolate Rav Papi's din to other starot. And that's because by the asharta d'dayne, it really looks like you're lying. How could you validate a document before the evidence shows up in court, before people testified in court? That is mechseh kashikra, and that the Ramban says we won't allow. But in cases where it looks fine, and it's not really a sheker, it's just written a little early, over there we will allow it to go through. Others, like the Tosfot over here, says, v'letter apapi. We don't worry about mechseh kashikra, period. As long as in the end everything is true, the fact that it was written ahead of time or signed ahead of time may not be the best idea, but in the end, the document is true, and therefore we will allow the document to go through. And therefore, Rav over here is passing like Rav Elazar, according to this, in both places. Both by Gitin, that you're not allowed to write the Tofes, and by other Shtarot, that you're allowed to, according to Tosfot, even write the Toref. According to Rashi, that you can even write the boilerplate, the Tofes, ahead of time. Okay, we're going to stop here, by the bottom of Chofav Amud Bet.